There we go. There we go. That's sweet. That's freaking sweet. Oh, my God.
That tickles.
Oh, come on. Let's even get that thing going again. There we go. As I was mentioning, in French class, my French teacher has a French version of one. So it goes, it says where I learned that, Ushitoya means it tickles. So it's like, yay, Ushitoya! So I'm thinking of this thing during that, which is just like double funny. See if I can get this going again. But you gotta shake it, which is kind of more like, you know, shake me like a British nanny, you know? Like in Family Guy. It's like, you're supposed to tickle it, not shake it, but you gotta shake it to make it work.
That tickles.
I think it's working again. Come on. All right, I'm having way too much fun with this, sorry. Keep it going here. All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I get distracted. There we go. I'm sorry, me? ADD? Never! All right, if I can get quiet. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make it my profession someday. How did I get into it as an education? I read books. I read a lot of books. I had sex. I'm not going to say I have a lot of sex, but I definitely have my share of sex. I've talked to people. I've talked to a lot of people. That's pretty much basically it. There is a history in the sexual education community of being self-taught, and I don't just mean having sex with people, although there's a very well-respected sexual educator who goes by the name of Annie Sprinkle, and she started out as a porn star. She started out as a porn star who would do absolutely pretty much anything in porn. She did a lot of golden shower videos, and she wanted basically to have as many sexual experiences as possible, and she basically wanted to have as much sex as possible with as many men and women as possible. She was a slut. I mean, she's a very highly intelligent woman. She was just really interested in this. I'm sorry, go back to your question again. Yes. How? I'd like to know that. That would be nice. I'm still figuring this part out. I've done a lot of one-on-one education, and I don't mean in the bedroom. I mean, like, friends. People will come to me and want to learn about something. And all right, I'll meet you at this time online. You know, I'll IMU, and I'll just start talking to you, and I'll start teaching you. How am I going to do this professionally? There are professional sex educators with places like Planned Parenthood and stuff. There are a number of people who do basically the kind of thing I want to do. Annie Sprinkle, Tristan Taormino. I could rattle a bunch of names off the top of my head. I'd like to talk to them someday and get to know what they've done to do it. I think they've just basically started doing talks, and eventually along people started wanting to pay them for it, and that's pretty sweet. Wonderful. Of course, yeah. Yeah, Black Rose has meetings every week in D.C. and stuff like that. So, well, I have to admit, as I mentioned, sometimes I'm really nervous up there and my brain wasn't in complete working mode. Look on the internet for the large group, and then you can always possibly email them. I'm sorry, I can't hear you above whatever the hell's going on over there.
Okay, how many of you have ever heard of fertility awareness?
I've heard of it. I know pretty much as anybody else does.
So, it's a method of predicting ovulation based on your temperature every day and your fertility. And it may not be the birth control method for everyone, but it is definitely worth reading. does not work for you. It is, there's a mind-blowing book called Taking Charge of Your Fertility, which you should look up and just, if you're a woman, read it. It doesn't matter if you're from a birth control or to you now, but it's fabulous information.
There's been different studies on the effectiveness of it. It does work for some women. It doesn't work for others. Personally, I'm not going to take that risk. Although, I will admit, I'm a person who highly believes in layering your birth control methods. We learn in, at least I learned in school, I was lucky. I grew up in a very conservative part of Pennsylvania, but yet I somehow had comprehensive sex ed. Don't know how I pulled that off, but I got real lucky. We learn in school, you know, the rhythm method might is really low stuff. Fertility awareness has, you know, varying degrees of efficacy. Pulling out has varying degrees of efficacy. But I'm a big person who likes to pile them onto each other. Like, I want to know what the studies are. How about fertility awareness with condoms? You know, what's the efficacy of you when you put them together?
You can look it up. It's about the same as pills if you have self-control, which is a big problem for most people.
Yeah.
There was a recent study done in Germany with hundreds of couples, thousands of cycles, and actually it was about 1 or 2% failure.
So there you go. I'm, like I said, I'm really big on layering your methods. It's like, you know, why take risks? You know, that's always my thing. Why take risks? I mean, if you really don't want to get pregnant, if you really don't want to get an STD, don't take a risk. It's just not worth it in the end. You can always go home. You can always masturbate. Yeah, sex with a partner is fun, but is it worth it if something really bad's going to happen? You know, that's your personal choice. I'm not going to say which way you should go on that because I have absolutely no right to tell you. But for me personally, I don't think it's worth the risk. So, any questions? Any discussions? You're all just sitting there listening. Stop. Listen, my voice is not that fascinating. There we go.
Okay, I have to ask two things. One is, you earlier mentioned what sounded like a machine that makes you lightning bolts from your hand. You know, like, I don't know, a superhero movie?
It's not like, okay, it's not going to jump a gap like this. You're not going to be Emperor Palpatine. No. But wouldn't that be cool? Come to the dark side. No. It'll jump a gap. I don't know. What's that? About a centimeter? It's about a centimeter, and it's a teeny little spark. It's a tiny, teensy, weensy, miniature little lightning bolt. It's no Emperor Palpatine kind of thing. And what I was talking about was a violet wand. So, does that answer? I'm sorry. The machine, someone asked what the machine's called. It's called a violet wand.
Violet or violet?
Violet. Like the color. V-I-O-L-E-T. No, not violent wand. No. Not violent wand. Violet wand. The funny thing is, they've been using these for, like, centuries. Like, you can get antique ones that they were using them for interesting quack medical purposes and stuff. So, with the older machines, you've got to be really careful, though, because the wiring might not be that good, you know. Caveat emptor. But they've had them around for a very long time. Next question.
Actually, I have a question and also a few book recommendations.
Sure.
I guess I'll start with the book recommendation.
Go for it.
A really great book that I read, and I don't know if you read it or what you thought of it, was The Disinformation. It's published by the Disinformation Publishers.
I've
Everything You Know About Sex Is Wrong.
I know their titles. I've never had a chance to look at that one.
It's a really, really good book.
Is it cool?
Shortish articles.
Interesting.
Like about the length of like 2,200 articles about various topics related to that.
Fascinating. That's really cool. If I could just interject just for 2 seconds. You mentioned something that's kind of, this is totally off topic, but I've had people become, people, please go get sleep. You're going to function better. You're going to be happier. Things are going to stick in your mind better. Get some sleep each day. Get plenty of liquid. Take a shower. Please. After this, go to bed. I'm your mom. No. Hey, over 2 days. No, not pretty good. Over a day. That's okay. Anyways, go ahead. I'm being momish here. Sorry.
The other book is called The Ethical Slut.
Oh, my God. I love that book. Oh, don't get me started. I had...
Polyamory.
Yes, it's about polyamory, open relationships. other ethical forms of sleeping around, which is something I didn't get to go into. And apparently somebody talked about on the informal track earlier today, and I wrote on it, whoever gave this talk, please get in touch with me. I'd love to talk to you. But yes, if anybody has any, I personally am polyamorous. If anybody has any questions about that, and by God, for the love of God, go out and get The Ethical Slut. I have a number of the other, pretty much all the books in print on polyamory. And everyone says, well, The Ethical Slut's not, it's more about the sleeping around part. It's not about the whole love part. I've tried to read the books on the love part. They're dry. One of them said something about you can't really be polyamorous unless you're spiritual, which is, in my appearance, yes, thank you, absolute bullshit, in my experience. Yes, you can be poly and be an atheist. There's plenty of poly-atheists out there. Yes, that's the other one I was going to recommend. I like this guy. it's called Redefining Our Relationships by a woman named Wendy O. Maddox. It's another good treatise on open relationships.
She does talk about love in that,
which is cool. She also has a really cool section, not written by her, but by one of her friends, about being poly with kids, which is a really neat section. I don't even have kids. I don't want to have kids, but it's still a really cool section. I really enjoyed it.
The last two books on the right here, one is a zine about making your own DIY sex toys.
Oh, really?
I don't know what it's called,
oh, no.
It's called DIY sex toys or something like that. It's really... Is that...
How have I not heard of this?
It's called Go Fuck Yourself.
It's called Go Fuck... Oh, how wonderful. It's called Go Fuck Yourself.
It's called Go Fuck Yourself.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, you need to... I'm going to give you my email. You need to send me emails with this stuff, because this just makes me very happy. Yay. Seriously, when I talk about sex, I get bouncy. It happens. I was just really nervous over there. Who has it? The zine library?
Yeah.
Ooh. Cool. Oh, I'm going to Brooklyn tomorrow. Is the zine... Okay, he said there's a zine library in Manhattan somewhere.
Library of Congress.
Oh, duh. I live in D.C. Library of Congress. Of course. Okay, last book.
Yeah, so the last book is... It's an erotica book by this wonderful author, Neil Vidori.
Oh, my God.
It's a love...
Love Midori.
You know, special interest actors. It all takes place in Ethiopia, and there's, you know, like sex with robots.
I have to admit, I probably shouldn't admit this. I'm probably gonna, you know, have the entire community down on my butt. I worked at a gay bookstore for a while, and the cover of it just turned me off. I don't want to insult anybody who ever did the cover, but I just think that she's a fan. Fantastic writer. She's written a number of books, Wild Side Sex, I believe it's called. I haven't actually read that one. She did the hell is that noise? She did the toy bag guides on shoe fetishes and foot fetishes, and it was done in a way for people who aren't even fetishes that can get something out of it. I'm absolutely blown away by her writing style. She's wonderful. But I felt the cover of the book really would turn people off. It wouldn't get people into reading it. Is it really good?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, I gotta go get that one. Okay, William Gibson, he wrote Neuromancer?
Yes.
Okay, cool. There's another book. There's a woman named Cecilia Tan who basically started writing and publishing sci-fi erotica, and especially BDSM sci-fi erotica, before it was available. The first thing that she made up was just printed out herself was a little chapbook called, I think it's called Telepaths Don't Need Safe Words. This woman, basically, she, in a way, she's kind of my hero when it comes to, like, fandom sexuality and stuff like that. She would, in high school, dress up as Han Solo, even with the blaster guns, and, like, teachers would give her hell for carrying around. She's like, dude, I'm the class valedictorian. Don't give me shit for this. And she started her own press called Circlet Press. So if you're into sci-fi erotica, if you're into sci-fi BDSM erotica, horror erotica, stuff like that, go check them out. They are wonderful. They are out of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
So this is my last thing.
Oh, okay.
Do you know anything about? I heard a while ago that they come out with a male birth control, like some sort of male birth control pill. I don't know if it's ever got approved by the FDA.
They've been working on male birth control for a long time. It is, unfortunately, and I forget the reasons why, but just specifically because of the way that testosterone works and the way that sperm production works, it is that hard, unfortunately. And I think part of it is. And this is just me trying to pull this out of the cobwebs of my mind with, you know, little sleep and not feeling so well. But I think it has to do with Yeah, you can get men not to, you know, not to be fertile, but then they can't get it off, I think is the problem. Or, I'm sorry? Oh, you said Viagra. I know that there are issues. I forget what they are. I probably said that wrong. And if anybody else knows what it actually is, please step up to the mic and tell me, because, you know, like I said, I tripped you. I'm sorry? Issues with male birth control, they can't get it to work right. They, I'm sorry, you end up with what issues? Actually, do you mind going up to the mic and saying this just so it gets recorded? So that I don't actually have to repeat all of it back into the mic because I want to make sure it does get recorded? Okay.
End up with erectile dysfunction issues, or you end up with lousy drives. And no, Viagra is not going to help because you still have to be aroused for that to work.
Yeah, well aware of this. No, it's not. Everyone thinks that guys are going to walk around with boners all the time if they take Viagra, which isn't true. You got to have the will for it to go up.
Oh, general comment for the sake of the group. Discussing the whole issue of endometrial stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing that the women may find interesting, I guess the guys also may, because it comes to another thing as well, is that for people who are too squeamish or whatever to do the finger up the poop hole deal, you can get some of the same benefits by stimulating peritoneum,
mm-hmm.
which is a little patch, it's called a paint, or
I hate that word.
Or whatever it is. If you watch Jackass, they call it pooch.
It's basically, in scientific terms, it's the place between the vagina and the anus, or the scrotum and the anus. Or perineum. I always pronounce perineum. I've had other people say, no, it's perineum. I don't know. I just need it written, you know?
Putting pressure in that area will grow by pressure on the prostate.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
Probably not as effective, but it can work quite well. Another point is another sexual machine would be the Accu-Jack.
I'm sorry, can you slow that down, say that again?
The Accu-Jack, another machine that is not too good, has both male and female attachments. You can compress air to operate instead of wires, so probably it's safer. Can't speak for it personally, but it looks interesting. It's really old.
That's cool. I watched recently, I've recently been TiVoing both Real Sex and Wired for Sex, and I've been watching them together, so I don't remember which is on which, but I watched one on fucking machines, and one of the things was basically like kind of a penis pump tube with stuff on the inside that was hooked up with wires in such a way that when the man thrusts, it will affect the vibrator on the other end, even if it's, you know, all the way across the internet, and he'll thrust, and she'll feel something in the vibrator. So it's actually interactive. It's just really cool.
Yeah, there is a pair of devices like that they were talking about. Also, not really terribly too relevant, but as far as the female culture and the hanky goes, in my opinion, they mostly went out of favor years ago, but people can talk correctly.
There are some people who still use them, some people who don't. Dark bars, it's hard to see. Can you set up to a mic to say that just so that we get this? Some places they do, some places they don't. I am in the queer community, and I've definitely seen them used, but it's not used the way it used to be, unfortunately.
You were asking about the idea that I talked earlier in the newsroom about
hacking relationships. Oh, cool! Hi, we should talk. Hi. Yeah, if you want to go ahead, if you want to make some comments on polyamory or something, please feel free. I didn't do anything on poly during my thing. I had no time to go into relationships at all. So I'm glad you talked about it.
Yeah, I was going to skip that. I didn't really prepare for it, but I had, like, my main speech here, so it's pretty well. And the secondary is here, but yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I kind of keep putting in on this time.
I did one of these the last time 2 years ago. I covered some of the material, but not other pieces of the material.
Okay. And just such a good word.
You
gotta use the word.
See, I prefer techno because not all teledildonics deal with pella.
Yeah. But
some does. And for the ones that do, I'll go with that. flowers blossom. Teledildonics. Perineum. Does anybody here play Symphony 2000? When you were generating a landform, there was that lady's voice that went, reticulating spline. I will never forget that. Okay.
So there would have been a lot better of a segue like 2 people ago.
That's all right. Fuck segues. Like,
numbers that are turned off to a book. So going back to the Ethel Flood.
It's a weird cover.
Yeah, it is.
It's a weird cover.
Yeah. So I'm kind of wondering, you mentioned one book, I believe, something relationship.
Redefining our relationship?
I'm wondering if they're... That's what also has a very, like, we're old hippies vibe, which might turn people off. But I'm wondering if you know of other books that, not, that come across as a bit more appealing to younger generation people. That
I never got that vibe from Ethel Flood, but I could feel someone could. To my knowledge, these are the books that are in print and polyamory today. The Ethical Slut, Redefining Our Relationships May or May Not Be. Basically, anytime I find it in a bookstore, I pick up copies just in case it's not, because I don't think it is. That book has more of a radical left, DIY, almost anarchist kind of feel to it. It's certainly appropriate for people who don't swing that way, but it's just the community from which the person came from. There is one called, it's by Deborah Annapol. It's Polyamory, The New Love Without Limits. And I couldn't get through it, I have to admit. I could not get through it. This was the person who basically said that, you really have to have spirituality to be poly. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. There's one called by Anthony Ravencroft. It's Polyamory, Roadmap to the Clueless and Hopeful. I love that title. Because I can be clueless at times. It's also a bit dense at times. It's a conversational style, but it's not nearly as easy of a read as Ethical Slut. And like I said, I worked in a gay bookstore, and we carried a bunch of these books. And as far as I know, those are the only books in print to this day. Opening Up? What's that one? I'm sorry. Can you shut up to the mic or yell it louder so I can see you? Oh, yeah, there is one for pagan polyamory. I forget who writes it, but I'm just talking about general ones if you're not into the whole pagan thing. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Vivian.
Hi.
I have a blog about sex and sexuality.
Cool.
Opening Up is Tristan Taramino's new book about polyamory.
Oh, cool. I hadn't heard of it.
So it's based on about 100 interviews. The website is openingup.net. She's doing a book tour now.
Wonderful.
Also, Anita Wagner's blog, Practical Polyamory.
I think I've heard of her. Is she kind of an older lady?
Yeah.
She started which Dark Odyssey? Which year do you know?
Winter Fire last year.
Winter Fire last year, okay. I was at Winter Fire this year.
And there's Cutting Mazes podcast.
Okay.
Polyamory Weekly, which is
Polyweekly.net,
I think.
Wonderful.
If you Google Cutting Mazes, you'll find it. She has a podcast where she takes
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Hi.
Hi. So, getting back to the basics.
Okay. Basics are good.
I understand from a lot of articles and research that many women have issues with orgasmophobia and intercourse.
Okay.
Whether it be just the way they're built, meditation, stress of life, any number of reasons.
I'm aware of this issue.
Yes. So I wonder if you could highlight some things that you have experienced or have knowledge of that would help with this issue.
Certainly. Let's see here. Where should I start? It's sometimes it's just the way you're built. It's where the clitoris is, and if it's being rubbed or bumped into while you're having sex or not, depending on the position. If you can find one that rubs your clitoris while you're having intercourse, it's helpful. I like big guys. I'm bi. I like big guys. I like big girls. It's just the way I swing. And I found with big guys oftentimes that their bellies will bump my clitoris, which feels really good. So, you know, which sometimes just doesn't happen with the skinnier men. It's my preference. Try different positions. Do not be afraid to get out the sex toys while fucking. This is something I forgot to mention earlier, and I wish I would have, because the greater audience needs to hear this. Bringing sex toys into the bedroom while fucking doesn't mean you're not a good lay. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Hell, it means you are a good lay, because you're getting over your hang-ups and you're doing whatever it takes to have a good time and to feel pleasure. I also probably should have mentioned that, and I'm not putting down orgasm, I'm definitely going to continue answering what you're saying, but orgasm is not the be-all, end-all of pleasure. For years, I had the hardest time because I wasn't orgasming, and it was driving me fucking batshit. And now that I do orgasm, I can let myself go, you know what? The way we're fucking right now, we're tired or whatever's happening, I'm just not going to come, and that's okay, because I'm really enjoying the fucking that we are having. Sex toys. I was having actually problems with this with my current partner, and I was poly, and my other partner said, yeah, go ahead and while you're fucking, put the Hitachi magic wand on your clitoris while he fucks you, and yeah, it worked pretty well. So I definitely basically do what some women reach down and play with their clitoris with their fingers. That doesn't work for me, but it works for a lot of women. Basically, do what, if once you figure out how to work with your clitoris to make yourself come, figure out a way to do that while you're having sex, whatever position you want. And sometimes also remember that, you know, sex during penile vaginal intercourse is great. I'm sorry, orgasm during penile vaginal intercourse is great. But there's one thing I've learned from having a lot of girl-on-girl fuck lesbian sex is that oftentimes with lesbians, they will the one girl will get off, and then the other girl will get off. You can take your turns, and it doesn't always have to be, you know, I have to orgasm having this kind of sex. It's really great to just be like, hey, I had an orgasm. I mean, I will use my vibrator, I will masturbate, and I will have my partner sometimes just touch me or be there or talk to me or say dirty things to me or whatever, and it will get me off, and I will roll over, and I will thank them for the orgasm because they helped. They participated. Sure. Sure. Okay.
So I think a problem with a lot of them is just that I've been with girls that had not orgasmed or experienced many orgasms previous guys. Mm-hmm. And I really think guys just be more attentive. And girls, don't be afraid to say, hey, you're not paying any attention to me. Because I just found that being really, really attentive and really like trying to communicate, I've gotten something from. I don't want to sound like...
No, it's okay. This is a safe place to talk about this stuff.
Like, she went from having 3 orgasms before me with, like, 7 partners to having almost every day or every other day. So, just be attentive and, you know.
This is a very important point. As a corollary to this, I've also had partners that are like, you know, I want to get you off. That's what I'm into. I want to get you off. You're having some important to me. And if you're having problems orgasming, this doesn't help at all. Because then you're like, oh, I got to come. It just adds more pressure to it. And sometimes you're just like, I know you like getting me off. I know you like making me happy. But remember, I can be happy without getting off. Just don't try so hard at it. It's important to be attentive. And as I said, sometimes I'm all about taking turns in the bedroom. I have attention deficit disorder. It does affect my sex life. I can get distracted even while having sex. It's got to be really mind-blowing for me to be able to stay completely focused. So I'm okay with, all right, we'll get you off this time, and we'll get me off later, or we'll get me off this time, and okay, I'm about to come, so we're going to get me off, and then we'll get you off later. I'm a big proponent of taking turns. We learned about it in kindergarten. It's good stuff. Hi.
So sharing is a good thing.
Sharing is a very good thing. Sharing is for some people, sharing is not for other people when it comes to partners, but some people are poly, some people aren't. It's okay.
Yeah. I have a question.
Okay.
You know, as a hacker and as an ex-raver, you know, like, we always worry about, you know, if we're going to get nailed by law. You
okay.
Know, and I used to live down in Texas, and I remember that there was a sodomy case,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, like, is there any tips or or anything like that, you can say that, you know, I'm not going to get busted by the cops if I try to get, oh, yeah, let me go to one of these, let me go to one of these things as a fresh out of my sexual experience, and then, you know, cops walk in and, you know, bust everybody in the club.
To be honest with you, I live in the state that I live in intentionally because it has more open sex laws and because it has more open laws in general. I'm a big fan of, you know, like living in a state where your laws are what you want them to be. So I don't have much experience with this. I do know a little bit about something about Texas laws because there's a wonderful documentary out there which I would love to get a copy of. And if that shameless plug, if anyone wanted to buy it for me, that'd be okay. it's called The Dildo Diaries. And apparently in Texas, I'm sorry about going off subject here for a bit, but if you own 6 or more dildos, you are assumed that you have intent to distribute them, and you can get in serious trouble with the law. However, if you have 5 or less, you are merely a hobbyist, and this is okay. you think of some of those novelties or as reputational models. You can't talk about using a dildo. They are educational models that are used to educate people in proper condom use. Ways to not get caught. Basically, in short, ways to not get caught. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Don't scream at the top of your lungs at 3 a.m. there's also, the best thing to do, honestly, though, is... offsite backup. Yes. No. possibly as I said, that there are BDSM groups in every area. Even if you're not into BDSM, these people definitely would know the laws better than this. There's also a wonderful, wonderful group called the NCSF, the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. These people work with the laws, fight to get the better laws. These people would know the laws in your area and would be able to tell you things that you could. Basically, the NCSF is to the sex world that the EFF is to the electronic world, the hacking world. They are a great group to go to for these kind of things.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Going back to Tom Donovan, you mentioned there were ones that sort of were programmable, even through email and bookmarks or favorites.
Mm-hmm.
What were those called again?
The one specifically that has the favorite setting is the... where's my... It's the... okay, I just looked at the manual today at Babeland. Crap. It's either the Juju or the Sassy. It's the Sassy. S-A-S-I. Both S's are capitalized. It's one word. And it is by the company that is by Juju. J-E, capital J-O-U-E. Juju.
And there's just one other thing to mention was that the DC community I found online for sort of building your own called Slash Dong.
It's funny, I was going to mention them and I forgot to. Yes, well, Slash Dong is great.
Anyone here interested in that probably...
Yeah, plus I remember reading once that they were trying to make an open source protocol for sex toys for anyone to be able to use. I thought that was absolutely awesome. Closer to the mic. Yeah, I can give you a whole list of links. Certainly, I can definitely do that. As I said earlier, as we're leaving, I'm going to put a whole list of links up on cableflame.googlepages.com. As I said, right now it's just a whole bunch of BS that I put up there with the HD DVD key, because at the time that was the big thing. But yeah, there are a wide variety of links. I can tell you, if you go into Second Life, if you're into the erotic hypnotism, there is a store called Hypno Dolls. This is certainly the place to go. Yes, I will admit, yeah, this is my lover's. He co-owns this store, but it really is the best resource for it. You can go there, you can talk to the people into it. I'm trying to think of other good resources for erotic hypnotism. So, okay, actually, here's the deal with erotic hypnotism. The main guild of that certifies hypnotists, the NGH, the National Guild of Hypnotists, who certifies certified hypnotherapists and stuff, isn't to actually, if you'll hold on a second. Daniel, can you please give me the laptop? I actually wrote something about this. Can I get the laptop back, David? Thank you. Because of what they consider to be ethical concerns with doing erotic hypnotism, they think that there isn't a way to do it ethically. That anytime you would do it, you would automatically be taking advantage of someone, especially if you were a hypnotherapist because of the whole patient thing. And therefore, they I have a good word for her. I don't want to say the wrong word and be.
It's that first stage of
hypnotism. It's they very much frown on sexuality because for many years hypnotism was just seen as where's my key? Okay. Hypnotism was just seen as something that was a joke or a trick, or people would use it in an unethical way, so they're trying to make their image look good. Well, they're doing this at the expense of sexuality. It kind of surprises me, because if these people are therapists, I mean, like, the psychology world is pretty okay with sexuality these days, but they really don't want to have anything to do with any kind of sexuality, to the point that, if they find out that a hypnotherapist is engaging in erotic hypnosis, they can remove your credentials. I earlier mentioned that I have a friend like that. I know someone who's like this, who goes specifically not only by a handle, but also by a fake name attached to the handle, so that he can be completely separated from this, because he's worried about losing his livelihood. And it's just, frankly, if I may say so, it's not fair. And I'd like to go to the NGH and say, hey, guys, read this, listen to this. There are ethical ways of doing it. People agree to it ahead of time. You can agree to what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And as the hypnosis people should know, there is such a thing as an abreaction. You're not going to do something you don't want to do. You'll just be like, you'll either ignore it completely or you'll fall out of hypnosis. So this is an issue that people need to be aware of, and which is why it's really hard to find good ethical erotic hypnosis links. The one I talked about, Lydia Varetha, she's very ethical. I've met her in person. She's a great lady. But there are a lot of people out there who are hypnodoms who are out there, you know, to scam people, or who will do it and who don't hold themselves to the greater ethics. So you got to, you know, ask around. Be kind of a caveat emptor kind of thing. There are groups to go. There is a mind control forum. That there is a group of microtroll stories, and there's a forum that goes with it. And these people will definitely be able to tell you who's good and who's bad and stuff like that.
The only reason I'm asking is because I'm married, and I know that my wife, her clitoris is like super, super like reactive, like really, really sensitive. So the only way that she can get off is with a vibrator. I had a sex with her, and if I hit it the wrong way, she'll like feel pain. So I wonder if it's going to help that, or I don't know if that would make it feel better. Or
I'm sorry, I just realized that I've lost the pen here. Somebody's laptop, it's not mine. Oops. I'm sorry, could you repeat that again?
Yeah, is that my wife...
Your wife's clitoris is super sensitive. She can only get off with vibration because touching it hurts.
Yes, exactly.
I submit, I'm the exact same way. I never tried erotic hypnotism for that. It might not. Something that I definitely forgot to mention about the erotic hypnotism, and I feel kind of bad about this. Before my hypnotherapist friend said that before doing any kind of hypnotherapy, if you have any kind of organic mental disorder, which includes depression, which includes anxiety disorders, which includes bipolar, anything like that, please talk to your doctor ahead of time, because sometimes things can come up and things can happen, and you have to be very careful. This is what my hypnotherapist friend told me. I will be completely honest myself. I have a mental disorder. I've never had any problems with it, but this is just me. It is up to you. I believe everybody has the right to make their own decisions on these things. Fixing that, I'm not sure. I mean, you might even be able to make her come without even touching her. So that certainly does help that problem. But I'm a very creative person when it comes to sex. I say give it a shot. The sky's the limit. Talk to other people who've done this before. Switch that up to the mic. Or you can use this one in the front. I just realized there's a mic in the front.
You mentioned a lady, somebody or other, realm of...
Lady Ruetha. RU_ETHA. _ETHA. And it's called the Realm of Bliss podcast. It's wonderful, wonderful podcast that has interviews on all sorts of things, on erotic submission, erotic dominance. She has an interview on technosexuality. She has an interview on inductions, on dual induction, which is where you you're going to be hearing it in both ears, and they're going to put you under. It's really great.
Is thought for the previous person with the
comes to mind here possibly is, first of all, can you find a position that works for you that doesn't hurt her, you just doesn't get her off? That's the first thing. If you can find that, perhaps you can get her off some other way afterwards, with or without vibrator repeater. Obviously, if you can't, and you have an issue where you can't even really have sex, it's just uncomfortable.
Well, that's what I do now. I can take turns. I just didn't work. We, I'll go first, and afterwards, I'll put her with the vibrator.
But sometimes you want it to happen, I get that. I totally do. It can be tricky. I've been, as I said, I've been studying sexuality since I pretty much got out of high school. Since I became sexual at 17, and I'm still figuring out how exactly I can come from fucking. And it's not always easy. It takes practice. It takes, we are imperfect beings. There is some frustration involved. I wish I had better advice for you. I really do. And if you figure something out, please send me an email. Tell me. I forgot my swag. Oh, no. Yes. I have swag from a wonderful sex store called Babeland. And they are sex positive. They are woman positive and queer positive. They are a very, very comfortable place to go sex toy shopping. I went there earlier today with a couple of attendees from the con, and we all had a wonderful time. And I was teaching some of the attendees of the con about stuff, and I ended up having people come up to me thinking I was a employee and asking me questions. And I said, I'm not an employee, but sure, I'll answer your questions. I like Babeland because it's very hands-on. Most places, you look at the vibrators in the boxes and try to make a choice from the really crappy packaging. They have one of everything available for you. You can touch it. You can take the dildos and you can shake them and you can see how rigid they are or how floppy they are. They have samples for some of the lubes there. You can feel them and you can even taste them if they're flavored. They have samples of all the condoms blown up just enough to see what they look like. It's a wonderful place. They have four different locations, two here in town, one in LA, and one in Seattle, where they're started. There's also other ones, places like this around the country. Good Vibrations, Early to Bed, Grand Opening. There's Come As You Are up in Canada. There's a whole wide variety of these places. And unfortunately, where I'm from doesn't have one. Maybe someday I'd open up one. That'd be really cool. But I highly recommend going to these places. Anyways, Babeland, I have brought buttons. Unfortunately, they're out of the Pet Your Bunny ones. But they have different ones. I have a bunch of pens from them, and right now they're having a big sale, 20% off almost everything in the store, and that can make a big difference when you're buying like a $110 dildo. Sorry, go ahead.
Actually, regarding dildos, here your guy might think, you know what, this might be kinky, and then get some kind of humongous thing, and then just like surprise him in the bed. That'll freak the guy out.
Yeah. Communication. Communication is the key here. This is a personal thing for me. I want to have a man who's comfortable enough that he doesn't mind if I use a dildo. Obviously, I'm not going to be like, honey, you want to try butt sex? And then I pull out the big one. You know what I mean? No, that's not cool, man. Start with the pinky. Work your way up. I have a number of dildos, and some of them I specifically bought for butt sex, which are smaller ones. I have that's pretty big. Have a much thinner girth around there. Tease the butt sex. There's no such thing as too much lube. Start slow. Never go, if you're doing it on a girl, never go from the anus to the vagina. And work your way up to the larger stuff. Oh, and make sure you're relaxed. If you're not relaxed, do what you need to do to relax. And those, like, numbing creams, oh, that's such a bad idea because you need to relax. If you're numb and you're tense and you're forcing it in, you can hurt yourself. This is bad.
I have one book that I personally like.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Oh, cool. I unfortunately don't know the male side of things very much at all, which is really kind of sad. Multi-orgasmic male, who wrote it? Send me an email on this. This is great. It's a good book? Okay, multi-orgasmic male. I'll have to remember that. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. If you didn't hear, he said, with men, keep them on the edge. Almost coming. It can be, you feel like multiple orgasms if done right, is what he mentioned. Let's see here. We were talking about books, and I forgot, didn't get to mention some of my favorite books. And is there somebody coming up? If so, I won't talk about books.
I don't know if this is common knowledge, but I mean, one of my favorite erotic books is the handwriting book,
The Hidden Beauty. A lot of people seem to like those. I personally haven't read them, but. Excellent. Go ahead.
Hi. There's a mind body hack that you didn't touch on.
Okay.
I wanted to get your take on it.
Okay.
Erotic asphyxiation.
Erotic asphyxiation. That is a mind body hack. It can be a very dangerous one. You have to be very, very, very careful with it. You have to really know what you're doing. At the BDSM club I go to, it's called the Crucible, it's in D.C., and they will have what's known as exploratorium nights, where traditionally when you do a scene, you play with someone or a number of someones, and other outsiders aren't allowed to butt in, you know, you have to get permission. But exploratorium nights, it's more of a, like, the people set up stations, they do little demos, and I actually got to do erotic asphyxiation with someone. The thing with this is, no matter what, there is always risk. There is always risk with erotic asphyxiation. Don't be like all the dumb senators and stuff that make the media by doing autoerotic asphyxiation, doing it on yourself and not having anyone around, and then they find you dead. It's much more fun with someone else too. And erotic asphyxiation can definitely be a head rush. It's not something I've done too much of. One, because I've had a number of partners that it's really not their thing. It's what's known as a hard limit for them. Big no-no, it's traumatic for them, and just because of its danger. If that's something you want to do, read the hell up on it, talk to people who do it, just, you know, learn it and be very, very careful. And also there's other ways of doing it, not just choking someone or taking their breath away, but like putting a gas mask on them and then put smelling salts in the tube or something. I remember they did that with me whenever I tried it. So, you're welcome.
I just wanted to say something about autoerotic or erotic asphyxiation.
Okay.
There was an article in a recent issue of Spread magazine about it. And they were saying that the basics of autoerotic asphyxiation is yourself. Best way to do it is just press your hands on the side of your neck to get that sort of sensation and rest something on your face. And they were saying that if you're doing it with someone else, never use a rope or a scarf. Definitely do not use nylon to tie
your neck. Don't use nylon to tie yourself up, even if you're just doing bondage.
Do not use nylon on your face because it can rub on your face and burn. And there have been cases where people have been in an erotic asphyxiation situation and something's gone bad. And it's difficult to prove that you weren't trying to do it perfectly.
Yeah. You personally, this is my personal thing, I just never do this alone. Something could go wrong. Please. You could die. And you don't want to be that person on the news who died from doing that. And also, unfortunately, because sex is still taboo, many families, there are people who are into this, who were experimenting with it as teens, who died, and their families just call it a suicide because it's less... Or you know, say something happened because it's less traumatic. And, you know, the truth never gets out in these cases. But it happens more often than we think because of the stigma associated with sex. So, please, don't do this alone. Please. Yeah, there are certain forms of BDSM play that are considered edge play. And some people consider that edge play. So, be careful. Okay.
But you were mentioning earlier...
Mm-hmm.
I have the same problem. I was wondering if you would want to, like, I've never actually have any the same problem. I was wondering if you wanted to, like, elaborate on that.
Okay, sure. And I've never talked to a guy who's had the same problems with that, so this is going to be cool. Yay. hey, sex is my thing. I get excited about this stuff. Let's see here. Let me make you think about this for a little bit. It's going to make me sound like, I'll be honest, I mean, you have some things we still do have stigma attached to, and I feel like this is going to make me sound like one idiot, but I mean, I can have a wonderful lover, very attentive, very doing everything right, but I still can't focus. It's just, I think it requires a certain amount of pleasure to get me to focus. And I mean, people are like, you know, ADD isn't real. Well, the fact that, like, they're like, you know, well, if you really wanted to focus, you could. I'd like to focus on sex. Thank you. I'm in the bedroom. I'm with my lover. I'd like this to be good. And I just can't. I found that I take medication. I take Adderall for it. I found that being on my medication does help.
You know, I mean, you're in bed, you're having sex with your lover, like you said, and you're like, why can't I pay attention to the person? We're having, you know, ostensibly great sex, but thinking about, like, that spot on the ceiling.
Yeah, no, totally, and this does happen. There is a book called The Ultimate Guide to Sex and Disability. The old edition, I don't think it had depression, but not ADD. There's a new edition put out. I haven't had a chance to look to see if it has ADD in it. There was a website called VaginaPagina.com. Vagina, V-A-G-I-N-A, Pagina, which means page in, I think, Spanish, P-A-G-I-N-A.com. And it was the first place I ever actually saw other places mentioned, other than books on ADD, that, yeah, you can have sexual problems with ADD with focus. I wish there were easy answers, but as you know, having ADD, there's oftentimes no easy answers to these things. Just please don't feel guilty. I mean, I know it's like I kind of have to take my own advice sometimes, but you can't help it. I'm sure your lover would say the same thing. And letting your lover know this ahead of time and telling them when you're like, yeah, you know, I'm just not able to focus right now. I'm real sorry, sweetie. Can we try this? Can we have some pleasure? Can I get you off and we try again with me later? Stuff like that. Just one thing that I have noticed when I use taking turns as a way whenever I'm having sexual difficulty is you have to be careful that you do end up doing your own later, because sometimes people are prone to start feeling, to start just, you know, every time it happens, letting your partner get off, and then you start feeling kind of like resentful, you know, well, yeah, you know, I sucked your dick this many times, why won't you do this for me, why can't I get off? And it's just, I mean, relationships, as everyone knows, are a slippery slope, and you got to be careful.
But actually, well, one thing that I found from my doctor's work is actually doing a lot of talking dirty.
Okay. You know what? It does the same for me too, which is why I think I like role play so much. Seriously, I think because I have ADD is one of the reasons I really like role play, because I'm in the mindset of somebody else. I'm having to constantly focus on that mindset of someone else, and it's enough stimulation. When I masturbate, I fantasize in my head. Just the sensation alone is absolutely not enough. I get so bored if you just, you know, put a vibrator in my crotch. I absolutely have to fantasize. It's best for me whenever my lover is constantly talking about, is constantly, you know, telling me things that turn me on. Because it really does get so many different parts of my mind going. I found that with erotic hypnosis can really help with this, because you're in this focused state. And then your mind doesn't go off. And if you're doing things in that focused state that turn you on, oh my God, yeah, no, you're going to stay in that zone. Sure. You next? Oh, okay. Next! No. Talk into the mic a little more. It's hard for me to hear you. Okay. Really? Tell me some of the other ones. Oh, yeah, Little Erotic is great. That's true. ASSTR. I love ASSTR. The beginning of their website has that really hot chick with the purple blanket.
Yeah.
I love that thing. They had that in 2000. It's she's just like kind of holding it in this purple blanket, and she's all coy, and it leads so much to imagination. It's wonderful.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if you use a tab web browser, they have Baylock
on it, but it's a picture of the app. That's
right,
it is. So what?
No,
yeah, I know. Obviously, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My advice would definitely be to try to bring them to the hotter more. They usually get a lot away.
Get her hotter before you try to get her off. I definitely know that's one thing that sometimes if I get bored in sex, I just want to get it over with. Especially if you fuck long enough and hard enough, it starts to hurt after a while. Like, as you said, talk to her more, get her hotter before you even put your dick in her. It can really, really help. I mean, if she's like, get her so bad that she's like shaking and, okay, no, you come here, you fuck me now, please. That helps.
And if she uses the exact words, it helps you.
There you go.
And the last thing I wanted to say was in regards to butt sex. Yay. Where, one thing I wanted to say was that,
yes, I should have mentioned that. You're right. I've never used oil-based lubes, mainly because I always am using condoms and I'm always using some kind of barrier in the butt. However, if you're not using a silicon dildo, silicone lubes are absolutely fantastic. They don't get sticky, they don't get tacky, they don't dry out. They only come off when you wash them off with soap and water, which means if you're using them in the tub, be very careful, because there have been plenty of people who have gotten on the bottom of their tub and put themselves. You don't want to hit yourself on your head. That's a bad thing.
Well, what should I land on your heart?
Can you say something about lubes?
Sure.
Silicone, which is a great dildo manufacturer.
All of my dildos are Santa's. I love them.
One of the great things about their silicone dildos is you can use them with Eros and other premium silicone lubes. They determine that they're fully compatible.
Okay. I personally, because I don't have that much money, I just stay away from it completely. Some people say, well, it says food grade versus medical grade, and depending on which silicone lubes you're using, I just personally stay away from them completely. Okay. Well, here's the thing which you can do. You can also put a condom on your silicone dildo. That's how sometimes I'll do that. I have a friend who's actually also a hacker, and he's like, we were going to use his condom. He was going to use the silicone dildo and a silicone lube. And I'm like, dude, you know you can't do that. He's like, well, you know, I'm an IT professional. I make a decent amount of money. It's like, you know, I'm not like you. I'm not going to I'm not trying to pass my dildos down to my grandchildren. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. Wait, what? So yeah, I mean, it's not like you touch the silicone lube to it and it just melts instantly into a puddle of goo. It just starts to eat away at it. So if you're willing, you know, if you are a person of such means that you're willing to replace your silicone dildos every now and then, if you're not like me who wants to pass them down to their grandchildren apparently, yeah, okay, go for it. Just be aware of this. Know it's going to happen. Yeah, no, it literally can, I think they're mainly small holes. Yes. Much more difficult to sterilize.
That I was going to say before, well, not before, but talking about all ADD/whatever, I mean, I have ADHD, which is
me too.
It's a bit of the same thing with hyperactivity.
Yeah, I have that too, actually.
Fortunately, it hasn't really given me a lot of problems re the bedroom, but in general, it can be an issue for some people. I've actually seen situations where some people have had issues because of that sort of thing. I've been lucky that it never was much of a problem in that respect. But as far as medication, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I actually, as a kid, if nothing seems to work, as an adult, I actually do take something and it's helped quite a bit. So you never know. It's one of what we do. You tried to get it 3 years ago, and you had much luck. Try again. You may do much better.
Yeah. Also, I've had people, I know someone who had ADHD who was taking Adderall, and he said that when he was on it, he could not get hard at all. So some people do have sexual side effects from it.
And actually, Adderall, for other people, seems to help that to some degree.
Yes, it is kind of funny. The human body is an interesting thing that way.
And our roles, but I've been using the method of the stuff as far as having my head worked out.
There you go. Hi.
I just wanted to comment on you mentioned Bay Lab and Good Vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
They have significant online presences.
They do.
Very educational blogs. And if you have a tech blog, you can often get into business mode, reviewing toys and getting those kinds of things. How many people here are from New York?
Yes.
Okay. Since this conference takes place in New York, I just want to mention a local organization, all 501c3, the Ewan Spiegel Society.
Okay, yeah.
Did you mention it already?
No, unfortunately, I didn't because I didn't have time, but yeah.
Lesbian Sex Mafia.
Do they still meet?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
They had a meeting last night.
And if I may ask, are they just lesbian or are they any women who partner with women?
People who identify as female.
Okay.
And also Dom's friends.
Okay.
So I know Leah Wolf does a letter calendar. I do a calendar. If you look at those sites, you'll find a lot of places,
in Washington, D.C., just to add on to that, just because this is where I know, we have Black Rose, which is, I think it's BR.org. We have there's a group called Dark Odyssey, which goes also into polyamory and tantric and sexual spiritual things, and they have a D.C.-based happy hour every Thursday. There is the Crucible, which hosts not only BDSM events, but also swingers events and other kinds of sexual things. And there is a wonderful calendar online of just about every single fucking kinky thing that ever happens in D.C. ever, whether it's kinky or the Lubbock community or something, and it's put together by a wonderful lady named Free. And life of me, I don't remember the URL. And the one thing I don't like about her calendar is she doesn't have an RSS feed. It's kind of sad. She would be nice if she had some kind of RSS on that. Or did it in Google Calendar or something. I think it's dcbdsm.org, I think. But if you look up dcbdsm calendar, I mean, it's literally so packed that every single night has something going on. Because at least she also includes WIP, West Virginia Humans and Perversions. She includes BESS, which is the Baltimore Educational and Social Society, which is their BDSM organization. So that'll get you going, at least in my area. And if anyone else is from any other area and would like to come up and talk about their open sexual stuff in their area, please come on up and talk about it. Hi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Story of O is a very classic piece of erotica. Just probably a warning I should have given earlier. Erotica is not real life. Some of it can be based on real life, but a lot of it stuff goes down there that you really couldn't or shouldn't do in real life. And I think a lot of people forget this. It's very important to remember. You can get ideas from them, but kind of have to put them through the sane and consensual test before you actually go doing some of this stuff. Got quiet. See. Oh. Is that my cue to get everyone the hell out of the room? Does anybody else have any other questions or things they'd like to say or questions? So please, don't be shy. And, of course, if you are shy and you'd like to come up and ask me stuff or email me with stuff, that's one. Go right ahead. My email address is cableflame@gmail.com. Hi.
What kind of effect can changes in relationship have on your relationship?
Ooh, that's a big question. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. It can have many different effects. There are whole books written on just that subject. So let me try to go into some of the basic stuff. Personally, I'm not the best person to ask about this because when I start entering relationships, I say I'm only entering open relationships, and if a closed relationship is what you need, then we're not going to be able to be together because I just can't do that. In any kind of open relationship, there can always be feelings of jealousy. There are people who are like, poly people don't get jealous. Point and laugh at them. It's just not true. Poly people do get jealous. I get jealous. I mean, everyone does. It's to the degree. Jealousy can arise, but unlike whenever, okay, when you're in therapy, you learn that you have to own your own emotions, that, you know, my emotions are my own, and I have to learn how to deal with them. For some reason, in our society, we don't teach that about jealousy. We say, well, you made me jealous, so you have to stop doing that. And no, jealousy is an emotion of yourself, and it's important to... The book on ethical slut has an entire really, really, really good chapter on jealousy that I would really like to give to a whole bunch of monogamous couples and be like, yeah, you know what? That whole jealousy thing you're doing, it's driving everyone else around you fucking nuts. Please read this. You don't have to become open. Just knock it off with the jealousy crap. You love each other. Fucking trust each other already, you know? Which obviously isn't always going to be the most helpful advice, but seriously, reading the book is great. There's jealousy issues. There's issues of... One of the big issues that happens with open relationship is just time. I mean, as much as someone might like to have 5 hours, five lovers, there are 24 hours in a day, there are 7 days in a week. And in there, you've got to sleep, you've got to eat, you've got to go to the bathroom, and most likely, you've got to go to work. Or you've got to, you know, care for the kids if you have them, or you have to keep house if you have it. I can really... Thank you. I'm so sorry. So there's the time constraint. There's jealousy issues that can be worked through. Well, not always. Some people can, some people can't. Other things about going open. Some people say that, you know, if we're going to be poly, you know, we're going to set a certain amount of people and we all have to love each other. Some people say, hey, you know what? I want to be with you, but yeah, go ahead. Fuck whoever the hell else you want on the side. Some people be, fuck whoever the hell else you want on the side, just don't let me know. Many people have found that this is oftentimes not the best way to go about it. Some people, this is the only way they can do it. If it actually ends up working for you, great. But for many people, they find that this doesn't end up working. Because of the whole, you hear that your lover has another lover, and you automatically assume that they're hotter than Cindy Crawford and smarter than Einstein and just so much better than you, and then you end up feeling like, oh, I can't compete with them, and blah, 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 blah. Getting to know your partner's partners is a wonderful thing because you find out, hey, look, they're a person too. How do you like that, you know? And oftentimes, you'll have many things in common till you end up becoming good friends with each other. My current lover, Winter Rose, he met my old, we call each other companion. We never end up having sex. But my old lover, and he goes by Nye, and they hit it off well as friends. They're great friends. And there's something in the poly community that's called compersion. It's basically the opposite of jealousy. When you're happy about your lovers being happy with their other lovers, and there's a really a slang term called frubbles, and to see Winter Rose and Knight, you know, palling around and being friends just fills me with frubbles. It's wonderful. So, did I answer your question? Yeah. Honestly, a lot of what I just said to you, I specifically remember reading in the ethical slot. So, I highly recommend perusing the book.
In the world of poly,
There's as many styles of poly as there are that you can think of, to be honest with you. There are some people who be like, well, you all have to be in love or it's not really poly. I laugh at these people. There are some places that poly has a very distinctive definition that this is what it means, and anything outside that might be an open relationship, it might be non-monogamous, it's not poly. There are places that include any kind of ethical sleeping around that's poly. So pretty much your answer is yes. Yes, all of the above, yes. If you can imagine it and you can make it work for you, you can do it. I mean, it's all about you realizing, you choosing your own relationship style and you saying, hey, you know what, fuck this. I'm going to do what works for me, and that's why I became poly. I'll be honest, I became poly because I was cheating on my boyfriend. He was a dick in the end. I dumped him. However, I realized that, you know what? In the future, if I'm going to love someone, I don't want to hide it from them. Fuck no. I'd rather tell them straight out and hope to God they understand. And that's why I went down the non-monogamy road. Because I realized, you know what? If I love someone, they deserve to know the truth. And hopefully they'll be okay with that. You know, the whole truth will set you free thing. Hi. You see, I'm a little envious of you. I wish I was the one standing up there just walking around with the mic and stuff. Yeah.
I apologize. Sorry.
Don't.
The
brain machine?
Yeah.
What brain machine?
That one
doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call it? Oh, what? Oh, those. Oh, you made that?
Yes.
Okay, now here's what's really cool. My hypnotherapist friend has a professional version of this with earphones and headphones for binaural inductions, which is tones going on in both ears, and I've played with them before.
They don't necessarily work with ADD or ADHD people.
Personally, I fucking hate those lights because they're way too bright and they hurt my eyes. I don't know about that specific one, but I've talked really much about hypnosis. There are multiple types of inductions, and one of them is a confusion induction, where basically you get the mind so fucking muddled that it's just trying to keep up and doing something, and then you tell them to go down. And they're like, oh my God, I can let go of all this, relax, and they go into hypnosis. There are types, and there are many other types. There are types, the whole swing, you know, the whole swinging watch stereotype? Yeah, that's actually a form of hypnosis you can do. I found personally with me, I absolutely hate the confusion inductions because it works, but I'm also, when I get down, that I'm not feeling good. And I'm not going to do it if I don't feel good. That's nice. And I've found that the blinking of the lights and the pulsating of the different sounds from it just doesn't do it for me. But you know what? There are people who totally swear by those things. Oh, my God, I've heard the stories. I'm sorry. Did I say something wrong?
Great tangent. That was really great. I mean,
I'm sorry. I tangent. Did I forget to say that? I tangent a lot.
No, that's just one thing to expand on your question and all that, going to the monopoly. And like I said, sorry, I wasn't here at the beginning.
Don't apologize.
I may be repeating something, but I'm really communicating with your partner that you're wanting to go from monopoly, as well as figure out what your ground rules are, what your hard limits are. Basically, like, for example, only women come in as poly for your extra partner, or if it's okay with couples or even a single male. Just make sure that you have your ground rules set, because there is nothing more freakier than to have set your ground rules and then all of a sudden your partner is going off and doing something that is, it was totally unexpected. And just, it really depends on what they're doing. But yeah.
This is good prevailing wisdom. Personally, I know from my own personal experiences that when I started, I didn't know where my boundaries were. Know that at the beginning, if you don't have all of your rules set in stone, it's going to happen, and you're going to hit a landmine. It's just part of the experience. You could talk as much, or you could talk as much as you want. You could say you're going to be okay, and then when it happens, you're an absolute wreck.
Yes.
So, I mean, people say, you know, figure out your ground rules before you start. This is good. Just know that, yeah, this is going to happen. Personally, this is my own personal feelings about poly. The reason that I am non-monogamous is because of a feminist belief that I own my own body and only I can say what I do with it. That includes who I love and who I fuck. So, whereas ground rules are such as, you know, we can do it together, but we can't do it if you're not around. These are things that personally I have a problem with, because it's like, I'm sorry, I thought I owned my own body. I thought I decided what I could do with it. I personally don't get a lot of monogamous relationships when people say that, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. It's just foreign to me. And if you can explain it to me and make me understand, I'd love to know. But, you've got to do what works for you. This is why I'm saying this personally is my thing. Please don't try to follow that if that's not your thing. Do what works for you.
Just one other thing. It's one of those things, you know, ground rules, whatever you said. Doesn't happen. Don't feel bad like that. When it's done and over with, let them enjoy it, and just later on talk to them about it. Because there's nothing more, it makes you, the person that's looking out, look more of an ass than that person is.
Absolutely.
So just go ahead and.
And it also makes the partner that you're there with.
Well, yeah, that also affects that person, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it also affects that person.
Just
basically your vibes just kind of go out and ruin the whole area.
Also, I've been a secondary in a lot of relationships recently, it seems like. And something that the ethical slut touched on at one point, but I found there really is no good book on polyamory for being the secondary. There is no good book. I'd write it myself, but I want the book, you know? I want someone else to be giving me this really great advice on how to be a secondary. But there, as a secondary, you have rights too. If, let's say, you know, this was the example in the ethical slut. You make a date with the person that you're the secondary to, and their other partner makes a date, and they always say that they're only going to go out on dates the same night so that you guys don't feel bad about it. And then their other date cancels, so then they start canceling with you. Well, they start fucking with you here, and just because you're secondary doesn't mean you're a homewrecker. It doesn't mean you don't have rights. It doesn't mean that you don't have a right to say, hey, listen, this is messing with me now, and you can't keep doing this. It's really important to be able to set your own ground rules and stand up for yourself and ask for what you need as a secondary. Thank you so much. It can cause drama. Preferably, if someone's a secondary, you do need to let them know. You know, you have other partners. Well, monogamous basically means that you're not going to have any other partners, and they're not going to have any partners either, so they're not going to be monogamous. You certainly could take someone on that doesn't have any other partners, but I've certainly been in that situation where I've been a secondary and haven't any other partners, and I'll be honest, it hurt. I was at a place that I really needed a relationship, I really needed someone to love me, and my secondaries, the people who were in a secondary type relationship with me, and I was their secondary, just didn't have the resources. Like I said, time. There's always the big time thing. You know, you go to work, you drive to see the person, and it can be rough. I'm not going to lie to you. It's all about knowing what you want from a relationship and then sticking by that. And if you find that what you learn from a relationship is different, if it changes and you just can't have that, don't kid yourself. It's so hard. Personally, oh, God, it's so hard for me not to kid myself. I oftentimes have a difficulty ending relationships when they're not working because I just want to be able to kid myself because I know what I want, and it's so important to be honest with yourself. Anything else? This could be something else. I'm trying to open this document. I'm trying to use this pad, and I'm having some difficulty with it. There we are. That's better. Open with Word pad. There we are. Any other questions? Any other comments or anything? Okay. I'd like to mention any of the books that I like. Oh, the authors of The Ethical Slut, which is Dossie Easton and Catherine A. List, who's actually Janet Hardy writing under a pen name. I adore these authors more than anything, and you know, if I met them, I swear to God, I'd kiss their feet. They write very well. They've also written books called The New Topping Book and The New Bottoming Book. And The New Topping Book is not about pizza. As one of my friends once said when I was writing about him. I was writing about it, and he's like, is there something wrong that I thought about pizza? And I wrote back, I'm like, dude, olives, onions, mushrooms, and sausage for the win. it's about BDSM. And they write a bunch of other books that are really, really wonderful. I can't recommend Janet Hardy or Dossie Easton's works any more highly than I already have. There's a book called Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns, which I honestly have never read. And if anybody has, you know, let me know how it was and if it was good. I've plumbed through it. It seems to be more of a how-to book, whereas the New Topping and New Bottoming book is more about theory and about mind spaces and stuff like that. Trying to think of other favorite sex books on my shelf. I'm big into gender, so I love Kate Bornstein. I love the gender workbook. I like Patrick Califia's works, Macho Slut, Doing It for Daddy, which are both erotic books. Speaking Sex to Power, which is a really great book on theory, which goes places that even makes me nervous and uncomfortable talking about sexually, and that's saying something. I'm trying to think of some of my other absolute favorite books, the ones I like having with me when I can. Does anyone else out here have any really good books that they've read about sex? Like to mention? Let's see here. Go ahead.
I was a test dose last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
how was that, by the way?
It was awesome.
Awesome.
One of the things that was mentioned was the bombing book and the topping book.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which actually I just mentioned, that was the older version.
Yeah.
The new topping book and the new bottoming book is the same thing, just updated versions.
And Dr. Ethan teaches at Dark Odyssey quite often.
Yeah, I know. I didn't get to go see her. It was so sad.
Maybe Lessa taught at Spring Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Spring Fire. So
she did.
They do teach in a number.
That's actually how I met her, because she was there. Let's see here. Okay, I'll just briefly read off my Like More Info. General sexual info and advice, there's a website called scarletteen.com, written by a woman named Heather Corinna. Yeah, it says teen in it, so I just ignore it says teen. I go to it when I need straight-up sexual information. Hold on a sec. Options, word wrap. Thank you. There we go. It's written by Heather Corinna, who also writes a book, site called Scarlet Letters, which is a wonderful site of erotica. She wrote Scarlet Teen because she's had all these teenagers coming to her, asking her for general sexual advice. Because, I mean, if you look up sex on the internet, what do you get? You get crappy-ass porn. Well, maybe good porn, depending on what you're into. But it's really hard to get just, you know, good sexual information from someone you can trust, which is why she started up Scarlet Teen. It's fantastic. One of my favorite blogs is Susie Bright's blog. I love Susie Bright. She talks, but she also talks about politics. Sometimes she talks about really good-sounding recipes. I've got to try sometime. She's a very prolific writer. She's written a number of books on sexuality. I think she's wonderful. I don't have the URL for that off the top of my head, but if you look it up, it comes up. There's a lady named Violet Blue who has a website, tinynibbles.com, which is called Open Source Sexuality. I think she's covered Hope for Wired before, if I'm not mistaken. She's a good one. Okay, I already talked about erotic hypnosis. Let's see here. Winter Rose's Mind Control Fact. Yes, this is my lover, but he really writes well, I have to admit, which includes erotic hypnotism on it. There is a Yahoo group for the virtual hypnotist, which is a freeware program. The program allows you to hypnotize yourself with a spiral and words on the screen. The author of the program is into erotic hypnotism himself, and the sister group to this virtual hypnotist group, which is named Hypnotic Words, is full of free scripts for it, and most of them are erotic. Virtual hypnotist. The Yahoo group is, let's see, it's a long one, health.groups.yahoo.com/group/virtual-hypnotist. There is an erotic hypnosis e-zine, which is at hypnosisaddiction.com, which I don't know how ethical they are. I haven't had the chance to check that out, but it got thrown out there. There is the Mind Control Story Archives Forum, which is mcforum.net, which is also a really great place to go if you're into erotic hypnosis. Let's see here. Low battery. Oh, it's here. Another great sex toy, sexual information website, Blowfish. Blowfish is great. They don't have an offline store. They're just an online store that I know of. But they also have the real good, you know, sexual education, as well as selling sex toys mindset, and they have a place of with erotica and stuff like that, which mainly written, and I totally forget what it's called. Do you remember it?
Thomas Roche is one of the contributors to the blog.
Okay.
Also Eden Fantasy.
Okay.
Also Vibe Review is a new online store that has sex toys.
Cool.
I think Sex Shop 360, but I think they're based out of
Yeah, there's, I can go into a number of really cool London places. Lovehoney.co.uk is not quite up to the par of, like, Blowfish and Babeland, but they're really starting to get there. Let's see here.
Can I also recommend Corin Silverberg, who's a sexuality guide at About.com?
Oh, my God, yes, please do. Please recommend, surprisingly, About.com used to be crap. I did some of my research for my main talk on About.com. I learned a ton about Tantra. It is fantastic. Look up sexual issues on there. Also, I think sexuality.org has a bunch of interesting things. Unfortunately, my only problem with them is they don't cover as many cities as I'd like them to. Let's see here. BDSM. I mentioned Tess. I mentioned Black Rose and Dark Odyssey. I mentioned Beth. I mentioned Whip already. Unfortunately, I wish I knew the BDSM groups in other places around the country and around the world. Sexuality and spirituality, Barbara Corellis or Corias?
Barbara Corellis.
Corellis, is that how she pronounces it? Urban Tantra, right? And Annie Sprinkle used to be really into this. I don't know if she still is into the whole sexuality and spirituality thing.
She's the Baltimore
oh my gosh, she's that close to where I lived? Oh man, and I'm up here. That's so not fair. For body modifications, a local group for me is Sacred Mark Sanctuary. I'll admit, I haven't really looked much about my outside area of this. I just know them because I know a number of people who do their stuff. I wish I had a really good link for sexual roleplay. I don't. I can do some research. I don't have a really good link for sexual techniques. Something that I wanted to mention about that is there's all these, a gazillion and one different techniques out there. And I have to admit, my favorite, the one that gets me off the most, is just simple missionary. It's okay to have sex in missionary position. If it works for you, please, do it. Somebody already mentioned flash dung. There's a Wired article, The Ins and Outs of Teledildonics. And here's the about.com thing I mentioned. TannyNibbles.com is something on teledildonics. For the technosexual ASFRs, there's Fembot Central, and there's a documentary called ASFR by Allison DeFriend, if you can find it. And God, if you can find it, let me know. I can't find it anywhere.
Could I also mention Regina Lynn, who writes the sex technology column for Wired? She's at some conference in Nevada this week.
Oh, it's a shame she couldn't be here. Excellent, excellent. That's a good idea. And the tablet I was using just died, so I can't continue rattling off my legs. That's pretty much all that I have for right now. I'm pretty much talked out, unless you really want me to start going into other things, too, if you have any other questions. I mean, you guys sort of look pretty tired here. I'm sorry, what, Daniel? Oh, God, FetLife. Why did I not mention that? It's a brand new site that I've spent most of my time on. I'm sure when I get back, I'm going to have a gazillion emails from them of the discussion. FetLife is wonderful. FetLife is a pretty much a social networking website that doesn't suck because it's written by geeks and it's written by actual fetish people. So instead of being by a bunch of people trying to make money, it's free. It's always, they say it's always going to be free, and it's totally free the way that, like, YouTube is free. And they have a bunch of groups with really great discussions, geeky and kinky, or kinky and geeky, I forget what it's called, having wonderful discussions, and I can't recommend them more. They're just fantastic, and I've been meeting some really great people, so thank you. Yes, I could ramble about like that life all day, because I love them. Yes, that's right. The guy who invented is on Twitter. And there's actually a whole group of people trying to get him to put up naughty pics. let's see here. Is there anything else that I have? As I said before, if anyone's interested in talking to me privately, go right ahead. And that's pretty much all I have for right now. Unless you really want me to...